Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Today we are going to take a look at the deeper meaning of Mars's recent entrance into the sign of Capricorn. We've already taken a look at the Mars-Jupiter trine that is starting to come through this week, but I thought it might be nice to pause and just take a deeper look at Mars in Capricorn and why it is considered to be exalted in that place. In order to do so, I'm going to show you an episode from a series that I did a while back called Planets in Profile on Mars through all of the signs. So if you haven't seen this series before, it's new content that you might want to check out because all of those episodes are evergreen. It's just we take Mercury, Mars, Venus through all 12 signs. There's a playlist in my library that you can look at and find those episodes that I did previously. We're going to rewind one of those today and explore that as a way of unpacking Mars's re-entrance into the sign of Capricorn. And before we get into that, though, I'm going to show you also the timeline of Mars's entrance into Capricorn. And, it's just some of the important dates as we look at Mars's journey through the sign of Capricorn. Some of the things we'll be looking at in the coming weeks, too. Anyway, before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share your comments and reflections in the comment section. And if you'd like, you can find a transcript of my daily talks, including today's, on the website, nightlightastrology.com. The only other announcement I have for you guys is our masterclass series on the fixed stars begins next week. It is not too late to sign up for that or to apply if you need tuition assistance. You can apply for that through the website, nightlightastrology.com. Go to the courses page and click the masterclass series. The other thing to note is that today we start our Roots and Spheres Moon Circle. We meet for the first time this evening. So if you'd like to join, it's not too late. If you need tuition assistance for that as well, all on the website, go to the Roots and Spheres page under the courses and feel free to sign up. If you want to try to get in at the last minute, you can also just email us info@nightlightastrology.com. We can get you signed up quickly that way. And then finally, my year three course begins on Friday of this week. That'd be tomorrow. And again, need-based tuition is there if you need it. So all those questions can be addressed through the courses tabs on the website. And if you have questions, again, feel free to email us info@nightlightastrology.com. All right. Well, today I'm looking at the astrology of Mars in Capricorn. We're going to do this Planets in Profile episode and reboot it. But you'll notice that Mars enters Capricorn right around January 4th. And then if we take this forward, we'll notice that Mars goes all the way through Capricorn. It moves pretty slowly, right, compared to other planets. It's fast. It's slower than Moon, Mercury, Venus, and the Sun. And it finally enters Aquarius right around February 13th. So we have this with us all the way through the middle of February now. Now, if we back this up and take a look at some of the things that are still to happen this month, one of the things that I think we can look forward to is obviously the Jupiter-Mars trine. That's one of the major things that Mars is doing. We take this forward a little bit more beyond that. You're going to notice that Mercury and Mars get together in a conjunction in Capricorn. And let's see here. We'll use... There they are coming together. That's about January 26th. If we take this forward just a bit more, the two planets, Mercury and Mars, travel together for a couple of days. And then Mars, right around January 29th, Mars will trine Uranus, which is another major astrological configuration from Mars that we have to look forward to this month. So a bunch of Mars energy exalted in Capricorn coming through. And then if you push it beyond, if you go beyond that, you'll notice that there is a meaningful sextile. It's a pretty brief. That's around February 6th between Mars and Neptune. And then you'll see that Mars enters Aquarius and conjoins Pluto, which is a big deal, about the middle of February. And we'll be turning the page on that next month. So anyway, that's sort of the outline of what Mars is doing. Some really big Mars transits. We looked at Mars-Jupiter already, but today, just an exploration of Mars into Capricorn, and also hopefully exposing some of you who are newer to the channel to that series that I did on called Planets in Profile, which I'm currently doing little by little on the Moon, but you can go back and watch for Mercury, Venus, or Mars, and here's an example of that. So I hope you'll enjoy it. Bye.
So today we're going to look at Mars in its exaltation in the sign of Capricorn. So I'm going to go ahead and put a little presentation up on the screen so that you can see it. And let's go into full screen mode here. All right. So Mars in Capricorn. Now, of all of the signs that Mars can occupy. This is one of the strongest placements for Mars. Mars naturally considered to be exalted in this sign, which means that its energy is very bright, very strong, very powerful, often associated with the more famous and sometimes ennobled Mars themes. But as we'll see in this presentation today, there's also actually some really interesting and diverse themes you wouldn't necessarily guess when thinking about Mars and Capricorn due to a few stereotypes that tend to get in the way. So hopefully we'll talk about that as well. Now I have famously pictured here Walt Disney and a Walt Disney World, Mickey Mouse, because Walt Disney had Mars in Capricorn. We're going to talk about that too. So remember the basic way of understanding any planet in any sign works like this. In ancient astrology, when a planet is in its own sign, it is in its own temple. So the signs are thought of as the temples of the gods, the houses of the gods. That's where the original term house comes from. Cancer is the house of the moon. Capricorn is the house of Saturn, like that. It's not until much later that we have this separate concept called houses, like the house of your siblings or the house of home and family. Originally, those were also called tapoi, places, and the signs were called the houses. Anyway, that's just an interesting aside. Now, when a planet is in a sign other than its own home sign, it is thus a guest in somebody else's temple. And depending on whose temple it's in, the planet will express itself and its own natural significations through the lens of the planetary temple in which it resides. So when we talk about Mars and Capricorn, we are saying that Mars is a house guest in Saturn's home. So as every planet is placed into different environments, there are a series of qualifying labels that we give to the planets in the signs called essential dignities. And when a planet, again, is in its own home sign, it sort of acts and behaves most like itself. When it's in another planet's home sign, it has to make a kind of compromise between its nature and the nature of the planet that rules the sign it's in. Some places are really conducive to a planet being itself, doing its best version of itself, and some places are not. Capricorn, which is the cold, dry, tropical, feminine earth sign of Saturn, is the place where Mars is exalted, because Mars in this particular sign has a really good relationship with Saturn. So Mars is going to express itself, its own natural qualities, which we know to be action, cutting, severing, invasion, competition, courage, bravery, inceptions or starting things. Actually, not a lot of people know that Mars was also originally associated with things like math and science because of the idea of the analytics of Mars, the cutting, dividing, dissecting qualities of Mars. Anyway, Mars does incredibly well in this sign because it gets along with Saturn pretty well. Now, what you get when you mix the two together is typically an incredibly hard, practical, effective, driven work ethic. You get people who are very strong, determined, focused, disciplined, mature, serious, but also action-oriented. You get a kind of rugged Mars. You get an earthy Mars. And interestingly, because not a lot of people know that the Capricornian sign is also associated with the goat god Pan, it's a very sexual sign. Not a lot of people know that about Capricorn. A lot of people just think, oh, Saturn, all they're concerned with is, you know, like making money or, you know, enterprising and ambition and achievement. But it's a feminine sign. It's a very sensual sign. Don't forget the bottom of the sea goat is a fish, which connects us to the realm of the ocean, the realm of water, the realm of desire. But also the feminine earthy signs are all sensual signs. Even though sometimes we think of Earth as a little bit more dry or cold, which is part of Saturn's sort of wintry nature. It's a first sign of winter, Capricorn is. But it's also, Saturn was also traditionally associated with melancholy. And melancholy is associated with the imaginative temperament, moody, imaginative, dark, mysterious, and can be quite sexual in this regard as well. So don't sleep on Capricorn when it comes to a pretty diverse range of significations. Now, when you put Mars in Capricorn, some of the blend of those sensual, mysterious, exotic, dark, edgy, gritty themes will come out, in addition to your typical high-achieving, disciplined, focused, you know, practical Mars, Saturn, or sort of earthy significations. It's important to note that Mars in Saturn sign is going to be expressing itself through the lens of Saturn. This also means that the negative Saturn side, negative Saturnine qualities can come out in Mars's journey through Capricorn. So, for example, you can be one can be a little ruthless, cold, detached, and you know, sort of focused so intently on achieving something that one won't, you know, it doesn't matter who loses or who gets hurt in the process. So just that kind of ruthlessness. It can also be the case that Mars in Capricorn can be someone who is possessed by work, someone who is, you know, almost like workaholism. And it can also be that someone is possessed by a kind of dark, angsty, broody melancholy that they express in really reckless ways, because Mars is like the rebel or the punk or, you know, the angry one. And Saturn can be, you know, and especially Capricorn can be kind of dark and pan-like. And that can be a little bit like the devil card in the tarot. So anyway, there's a wide range of people who are really interesting, who have really interesting expressions of Mars and Capricorn. And it's not like one consistent theme that you'll see with people who were born with Mars in Capricorn. The other thing to remember is that Capricorn was called the gateway of the gods, whereas its opposite sign, Cancer, was called the gateway of man. And the basic reason for this is that Cancer is a place where the life is thought to originate, the soul descending into matter and the soul coming into spirit, coming into incarnation. Capricorn is a place of death at the beginning of the winter solstice, where the body, the individual is leaving the body. And so the Saturn-Mars combination of rulerships in Capricorn, the domicile rulership being Saturn, the exaltation ruler being Mars, signify the detachment necessary, for example, to leave the body for the sake of spiritual life. For example, you have pictures of, you know, yogis sort of blasting out the crown chakra of their head, and it takes incredible focus, austerity. They're like, you know, they're like Olympians of spiritual life in some ways. So you do have this kind of really intense sense of, you know, using one's will to transcend. Saturn is not often thought of as a planet that's related to transcendence, but it is. It always was. Prior to Neptune's existence, Saturn really carries so many of the Neptunian significations in ancient astrology. Everything from melancholy to winter to mystery to Saturn being the gateway between the physical and the spiritual. It's the last of the visible planets. I always say this, dimmest, most distant planet, sits on the threshold between what we can see and what we can't see. And the Capricornian gateway is, as Saturn is, associated with impermanence, death, and what lies beyond this mortal veil. So Mars in Capricorn also has this kind of transcendent quality to it, which is a little dark and otherworldly and associated with death, but also the kind of steely tenacity that's required to, you know, be a stoic or a yogi or someone who sees beyond the shadows of this world. So it's a very kind of other, can be a very otherworldly Mars. Anyway, we're going to see that as I give you some examples. So let's just talk about a variety of people. You have, like, I'm going to group some of these people together, like Marlon Brando, Brad Pitt, and Robert Pattinson. They are each of them gritty, sort of hardcore Mars-like characters. We have several of them playing vampires, right? If you remember the Twilight series and Interview with a Vampire and stuff like that. Marlon Brando, of course, all of them play these kind of edgy, moody, angsty, but very masculine figures. They have a slight, almost like sensitivity and angstiness that lends it, it's more sensual, it's mysterious and dark. And that's the kind of masculine quality that you'll see in some of the actors that have the Mars in Capricorn. On the other hand, you have just like straight up hardcore rockers who have like a really dark but sort of poetic edge to them, like Ozzy Osbourne or Patti Smith. I know that they're not at all comparable in some ways. They're very different people and musicians and so forth. But Patti Smith is sort of punk poet. I was reading that somewhere she was described as the poet laureate of punk music. So she's like sort of intellectual, dark, feminist, punk, you know, rock icon. Ozzy Osbourne is more straight up, you know, bats and blood, you know what I mean? But he's also quite poetic. You know, there's a lot of the songs were quite poetic and like that. Of course, you have typical, like very high accomplishing athletes. I don't have mentioned here Steph Curry for Golden State Warriors, one of the greatest, you know, arguably the greatest 3-point shooter of all time in basketball. Neymar, Rafael Nadal, Usain Bolt. So just like very, there's a lot more, but there's very high achieving sort of phenoms who are also known for being really regimented and disciplined with the way that they practice and so forth. So I think that that's also really interesting. You have people who are, you have a couple of scientists who are studying the structures of reality, we're studying biology, and it's not like a lot of the times, you know, Mars is going to show up really prominently in scientist charts because, again, Mars and Mercury together were rulers over things like math and science in ancient astrology because of the analytical intellect. So Einstein and Louis Pasteur, I hope I said his name correctly, both, you know, really, of course, really, really credible scientists. Then you have this other category of, I want to say that these are like dark, edgy musicians, but they're also very mysterious, sensual, very pan-like. Remember the goat god? And really otherworldly. And that's the Saturn aspect. We don't always, again, we just forget that Saturn was traditionally related to melancholy, mystery, moodiness, broodiness, darkness, and imaginativeness. And so you have people like Bjork, Lady Gaga, and David Bowie. I live in Bowie. So you have Bjork and the likes of Bjork, who are going to make, you know, just this kind of almost like sci-fi pagan, you know, pagan poetry. If you ever heard that? I think it's an album or song by her. You also have just kind of your almost like, I want to say like glam artist women who have like a really muscular, powerful edge to them, like Katy Perry, Shakira, Christina Aguilera, Gwen Stefani, other artists like Frida Kahlo. So, you know, you have this really, it's just interesting how sensual and erotic and dark Capricorn can be. And when you put Mars in there in a woman's chart, you see the same kind of thing that you see with like Marlon Brando, Brad Pitt, Robert Pattinson, all actors, but you see it playing out in these for example, someone who had a lot of Capricorn energy was J.R.R. Tolkien. So, you know, Saturn energy is really good for fantasy because it is a planet that looks distantly at the world with grief or disappointment and imagines something else, imagines a lost time, a lost era, Atlantis. I mean, this is what Saturn is like. We forget the colorful stripes, colorful, mysterious stripes and rings around Saturn. It's important to think of that in your mind so that you don't just go into some ironically deadened version of Saturn, which would only really represent one of the dark elements of Saturn that's, you know, sort of like it's ignorant or it's overly structured or strict and like, yes, but it's also a lot of other things. Then you have like your really sort of rough riders, almost like ultra hyper masculine, like Theodore Roosevelt and the Rough Riders or John Wayne or Ronald Reagan, where there's this sort of like, I don't know, it almost like, you know, Ronald Reagan and Theodore Roosevelt, of course, you know, you have both images of kind of like cowboys, right? Like kind of classical images of masculine, earthy toughness or whatever, even if it's just a projected image, you get the idea. Whereas, you know, John Wayne is an actor, but so is Ronald Reagan. That's an interesting point that they both, you know, starred in Westerns, I believe, too. I mean, I know John Wayne did. I think Ronald Reagan did as well. You have like Samuel L. Jackson, the tough bad guy. I really love him, how he plays such a badass, you know. That's so Mars in Capricorn. He's just sort of tough and ruthless and ice cold. And those, he plays characters like that. Now you also have this really interesting theme that will oftentimes have something to do with being like organized, like figures who are very martial in that they want to, that there's force, there's muscle, there's strength behind their personality and their life path, but they are very disciplined and they make, you know, they're not, it's not an unbridled Mars, in other words, and they often have a message of social change that they want to carry forward, like Michael Moore, for example, or who is my other one? I'm looking at my list. Where am I? Rosa Parks, right? So in both cases, you have this idea of the kind of militant resistance and clashes with authority that can be really, really strong because you have Mars, god of will and force, in a sign Saturn that has a lot to do with the status quo, tradition, and authority. And it's not uncommon to see people with Mars in Capricorn either really, you know, like a steam engine going toward traditional worldly authority, rank, mastery, and achievement, or being someone who wants to challenge the status quo, which is a Mars Capricorn kind of dynamic or a Mars Saturn dynamic. So Michael Moore, Rosa Parks, examples like that. Of course, you also have people who are just really deep and intense intellectuals like Soren Kierkegaard, where you have, or Aleister Crowley, or who is my other one? Edgar Cayce. All, I know they're very different, but they all have, like Soren Kierkegaard, of course, is a just sort of brilliant sort of Christian existentialist, if such a thing, if you can imagine such a thing. So he's just very brilliant, but he blends some of the elements of existentialism with the walk of faith, and it has a kind of dark, mysterious Capricornian feeling to it, and it's very forceful. I mean, when you read his books, it's really strong, and it's confrontational. It confronts something in the soul. That was my experience of reading him. I did a senior paper on him in my undergrad in philosophy. Then if you think about there's just like captains of industry who go after like traditional worldly success, and they're, you know, like Jeff Bezos and Amazon. Or if you think about Walt Disney, again, someone who just built an empire. What's really interesting about Walt Disney is he builds this empire, but it's total imagination, you know, and that's, again, such a Capricornian thing. Again, I'll say it again, and I promise I'll shut up soon. The, you know, everyone typically comes up with stereotypes about Capricorn just being sort of worldly, standard, traditional achievement. And the thing is that Capricorn, it also has a very otherworldly quality to it. It's very imaginative, and it gets very frustrated with the mundane world. Saturn is not so much about the mundane world as it is the boundaries that maintain or keep the status quo and what lies on the other side, and the complex relationship between the two. Saturn straddles that boundary and implies the relationship between what's on both sides of the boundary. That's why, again, Saturn rules oppositions. So Walt Disney, captain of industry, very successful in traditional sort of American capitalist ways, but Disney World, which is this place that's built on fairy tales. This should give you some idea. Let's see if I missed any on my list. I think I got most of them. Oh, Jerry Lewis and Jim Carrey. That's interesting. Francis Ford Coppola is interesting too. Francis Ford Coppola, of course, known for, you know, the Godfather movies in particular, which are really, you know, just really dark and have to do with the mafia and so forth. So there's, you know, and not just, I'm trying to remember some of the other ones that Francis Ford Coppola has done. Oh, and I'm just like, and of course, I'm just going to forget right at the important moment. Anyway, tell me what other movies Francis Ford Coppola have done in the chat section. I'd love to hear from you guys that embody that theme of the warrior, but kind of dark, right? Like The Godfather, it's organized crime. It has that structured, traditional, hierarchical feeling, but it's also ruthless and cold. You know, a lot of cold killers in the Godfather series, of course. Let's see. So I went through, I think I've gotten through everything except for Jerry Lewis and Jim Carrey. This is also really interesting because Jerry Lewis and Jim Carrey, of course, are like mirror images of each other in terms of, you know, at least one phase in their careers. Jim Carrey was compared to Jerry Lewis all the time and said that Jerry Lewis was like an icon of his. Again, like one of the things that's really impressive is they're both, their abilities, both of them are like contortionists of their face, their body language. And oftentimes you see this incredible degree of control with the, of the body and of almost like a kind of controlled athleticism that you'll see with people like, you know, well, I go back through the list, but Steph Curry again comes to mind, Nadal, Usain Bolt, et cetera. So one of the things that I've heard people comment on with regard to this one is that they're both people who had this incredible, uncanny ability to contort, but ultimately be in control of their body. It's like, as comedians. So that's interesting. The other thing that's there is that they're both really provocative and violent in their humor. So they're both really kind of almost like, they both of them had this way of their slapstick, right? But there's a punch and there's a kind of violence in the way that they contort, twist, you know, and make humor. And that almost like that twisted side of them is like, if you think about The Mask, if you ever saw that movie with Jim Carrey, there's a dark edge to both Jerry Lewis and Jim Carrey as well. So I thought those were two really interesting ones. I can't say that I fully understand the, you know, Mars and Capricorn with both of them. But the thing that came to my mind again was their ability to contort and control their bodies in amazing ways, which is definitely a Mars Capricorn thing. And then also that they both have this kind of slapstick, violent form of humor. And Saturn is also, like Pan, is a god of humor and dark humor usually. So there's an edge to both of them that I think is really interesting. Even though they're beloved, you know, they're just like, in some ways they don't seem like dark characters at all. But anyway, Jim Carrey has certainly later in his career taken on many more dark and interesting roles as well. Okay, so if you know anything more about Jerry Lewis, I'd love to hear it. In the meantime, that's what I've got for you guys. I hope that this edition of my Planets in Profile series was interesting and that you learned some new things about Mars and Capricorn. I have one left in the series, which is Mars in Aquarius. So hopefully get that done in the next month when Mars moves into Aquarius. Okay, leave your comments in the comments section. If you have Mars in Capricorn, what's it like? What do you notice? Do you have anything in common with any of those of the cast of characters that I went through today? I'd love to hear your thoughts. All right, take it easy. Bye.